The Lord be with you. It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this day that he has given us, the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord, as he shows himself to us as he truly is, that we may see his glory. A few notes for the week. John Broadbeck is doing better. He's out of the ICU in a regular room, but because he's got a lot of work and a lot of healing and a lot of recovering to do, he's asking for no visits right now. Prayers are always welcome and such, but let those nurses work him over. And Pete, they chased me out of ICU the other day so they could start working him over. So it was time to get him out of bed. Prayers again for Eric as he goes in tomorrow for surgery. Also, continuing in our prayers, Ravia is recovering from double mastectomy surgery and has a checkup tomorrow. Janet Jameson also recovering and looking to see this next week what her next step is with her back issue. Also in our prayers today, relatives of Pastor Ledick from Danville, Messiah Danville, his daughter-in-law's parents are, both of them are suffering with cancer. So both been diagnosed and looking for treatment. So we remember Steve and Kathy in our prayers today as well as they are looking to see what is next for them. Ash Wednesday, Lent begins this week, 10:30 service, also 7 p.m. service. Imposition of ashes and divine service for both of those times on Wednesday. So Tuesday night, in order to sort of clean out all the stuff to prepare for the time of fasting, Fat Tuesday feast in the social hall, 6 o'clock. Come and join us. Our young people are going to be serving you. So come on over, come hungry. They're going to pile it on for you. This will help raise some funds for us for our youth trip this summer. So 6 o'clock Tuesday, come and join us. Also, soup supper sign-up sheets are out there. Please sign up if you'd like to make one or if you'd like to join us on the Wednesday evenings for those services and for those dinners. The service is before you. We follow that. We rise to sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking, when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. St. Peter makes it clear today that the transfiguration of Jesus was a defining moment for him. We were eyewitnesses of Jesus' majesty, he writes. For when he received honor and glory from the Father, and the voice was born to him from the majestic glory, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain. On that holy mountain, on that Mount of Transfiguration, St. Peter briefly saw the key that unlocks the meaning of everything else in his life. There, he saw Jesus, the God-man, more clearly revealed in his power and his glory than he could hope to have seen anywhere else or at any other time. And it's not that St. Peter didn't know about Jesus. He already knew that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He understood that Jesus' words are the words of eternal life. And he even knew that Jesus would be killed and raised again on the third day. But here, on the mountain, St. Peter's simple knowledge of Jesus was outdone by a much greater gift. Here, he stood in Jesus' transfigured and glorified and fully revealed presence. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And so the struggles of the past, they don't matter anymore. The weaknesses of his present find themselves strengthened in this shining divine glory, the majestic glory of his revealed Lord. The uncertainties of his future lose all of their power, all of their fearsomeness, all of the ability to overwhelm. Here's a good place to be. And he wants to stick around. Lord, it's good that we are here. But St. Peter doesn't tell you these things just to update you on his wonderful experience, like he's writing the yearly Christmas letter or posting a check-in on social media or shoving a photo album in your face. No, his words reveal how it is that you stand on your own Mount of Transfiguration. How you share in the revelation of your Lord's divine glory in a way not unlike St. Peter beheld it. We heard the voice from the majestic glory, he writes, and this voice said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And where do you hear the voice of God pointing you to his beloved Son, Jesus, except in Holy Scripture, the very Word of God? What are the words and what is this book if not the voice from the majestic glory? Just as St. Peter and all the other disciples couldn't see Jesus' divinity apart from his own revelation of it, neither can you. The great majesty and the glory of your God, the very majesty and the glory that he willingly set aside for you and for your salvation, these things are only visible through the word of Moses, the word of the prophets, the word, St. Peter says, to which you would do well to pay attention. So that which St. Peter saw on the mountain, God has revealed to you in the pages of Holy Scripture, so that you may see it, that you may know it, that you may believe it. St. Peter compares the Word to a lamp shining in a dark place. And so the light that shines, it's not the pages themselves, but the God-man whose glory lights up these pages. The same man, the same God-man, whose face shone like the sun, whose clothes became as white as light. The light of the Transfiguration and the light which lights up Holy Scripture is the same light St. John spoke of when he wrote in his Gospel that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. And of this word and light, St. Peter says to you, you will do well to pay attention. as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And it's important that you pay attention to this word, that you hold it in the very front of your mind, that you make it your one preoccupation, because if this word is light, then it necessarily follows that all other words are darkness. Luther wrote, "If there were another light apart from the Word of God, St. Peter would not have spoken as he did." So gauge and measure all things, all of your thoughts and opinions and ideas and actions, maybe even books and movies and those long treatises you see on Facebook. Gauge them all according to this word alone. Luther also said that if you cannot trace it to God's word, then do not doubt that it is darkness. So if the word of Holy Scripture truly is a lamp shining in a dark place, then be taken captive by that word. Bind every one of your thoughts and your opinions to that one illuminating word. And once you enter the light of that word, don't return to the darkness in which you once lived. Because we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you would do well to pay attention. This is, in fact, the highest praise of God, that you allow Him to speak to you and to be content with listening to Him, praying as Samuel did, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so compare the power of God's speech to yours. You open your mouth, sound comes out. The Lord God lifts His voice and the earth melts. You speak ideas and opinions that are rooted in sin. God speaks and every power in the universe bows to His command. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty, says St. Peter. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you would do well to pay attention. And you do well to pay attention because this word alone is the source of your comfort and your peace in times of trouble and despair. In God's word alone do you find the forgiveness of your sins. In God's word alone is the hope of your deliverance. In God's word alone is the certainty of your resurrection. You can't know that Jesus' death for you and for your salvation was worth anything at all without this word that you've been given. And you can't think that His resurrection is anything more than an old wives' tale or a cleverly devised myth apart from the revelation of God's glory in His word. You can't have any certainty of your own forgiveness and eternal life except by what is written here. You will do well to pay attention to it, because here it proclaims to you all of your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name, for His sake, in His blood. St. Peter makes it clear that the transfiguration of Jesus, both His Lord and yours, was a defining and a world-changing moment. On that sacred mountain, on that Mount of Transfiguration, St. Peter briefly saw with unveiled eyes the one key that unlocks the meaning of everything else in his entire life. On that mountain, he saw Jesus more clearly revealed in his power and his divinity than he could have ever hoped to see anywhere else or at any other time. But he also points you to your own Mount of Transfiguration, where you may also see the key that unlocks the meaning of everything else in your life. Here, gathered in Jesus' word, you stand in Jesus' revealed presence. Here, you may say with St. Peter, "We were with Him on that holy mountain. Because here among the mountains, Jesus is with you. His holy mountain is right here on this altar, where he is sacramentally and physically and truly present for you. His majestic glory hidden for a time in bread and wine. Here, in the glorious illumination of Christ, the struggles of your past no longer matter. The weaknesses of your present find themselves strengthened in the shining divine glory of your revealed Lord. The uncertainties of your future lose all of their power, all of their fearsomeness, and all of their ability to overwhelm. Here is a good place to be. And so you may echo Peter and say, Lord, it is good that we are here. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.